I'm going to get some water because I'm already sweating like a whore in church. It's good to... I'm glad the water just... I said a whore in church and then the water just slapped in my eye. Kind of like, you know...
It was karma.
Well, yeah. So
it was God.
That was God saying, you'll like it. We're recording, too. So whatever. I might edit this out, but I might not. Hello, everybody. What? It's a podcast. And it is hot in Los Angeles. I'm here. Hello, I'm Matt Maher. I'm here with Timon Manning.
Hi.
Timon Manning. That is...
Emphasis on the mon.
Yes. And, oh, Timon.
No, not at all. Okay. I was joking.
And, but you go by Ty.
Yeah.
It is like 8 o'clock at night here in LA. I thought, oh, it'll cool down. And it's not the things I do for you listeners. It is still very, very warm in here.
The temperature is peaking around.
The temperature is peaking. I'm swassy already. No. Okay, tell me a little bit. Tell me about your name, first off.
Okay, so it's actually really not an interesting story, but I was...
Tune in, listeners. Get ready for this, okay?
Buckle up.
This is the lead-in.
Yeah, it's not interesting at all. So I was the third child of my parents, and... When I was born, I wasn't intentional. I was an accident. My brother reminds me of that daily. But when I was born, my umbilical cord was tied in a knot and around my neck.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah. So my parents wanted something with Ty in it. My mom did not want Tyler, which I wish that was my name, but it's not. So they looked in a baby book. I was born in Vista, California. And so in the hospital there, they opened the baby book. And under Timothy, one of the derivatives was Timon. And so... They thought that was good. It sort of combined my cousin's name, Simon, with their desire to have Ty. They chose Timon. Here I am, named Timon.
What does it mean?
It means gift of God.
That's what Matthew means.
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe.
Matthew means gift of... We are gifts of God. Look at us.
Maybe everyone just says that about their name.
Yeah, everybody just says it. What does Darnell mean? Gift of God. Gary, gift of God. I love your name.
Thank you. You don't like it?
I think it's a beautiful name.
No, I like it. It's just...
Tyler is what you name a twink.
Which I mean,
and you're getting past that.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know anyone named Timon, so it's just sort of weird. Oh. Everyone mispronounces it. Timon is the most
Timon.
Common. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, so no. Timon. Well, and so you just go by Ty. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're here. Now, so where'd you grow up again?
So I sort of grew up in two different places. I was born in Vista, which is near Escondido in Southern California. Then we moved to Pennsylvania for a few years and then moved to Southern Oregon and settled down for my elementary and middle school years. Then my parents divorced. My dad moved down to California. I then moved down with him for high school to Canyon Lake. It's near Temecula.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to high school there. So I always tell people I sort of grew up in those two places, Southern Oregon, Southern California.
What was your favorite that you've lived?
So when I was in Oregon, I sort of had this idealized view of Southern California because I only came down here to vacation to visit my dad. And I was like, oh, it's amazing. It's beautiful. I don't have any obligations. My brothers live down here. Yeah, I don't have to pay rent. I had 11 years old, which is wonderful. And so I thought California was the best thing ever. Then I moved down here and I'm like, oh, it's no different in terms of like, I don't know, like all the issues I had of being gay as a kid, I thought would go away moving down to California. They didn't. So now in retrospect, I would say Southern Oregon for just how beautiful it is.
I want to go.
It's amazing.
You're very outdoorsy too, right?
Yeah. And I appreciate that a lot
more. He's fit, y'all. He's a nice, I don't know why I just have fit guys on my show to make me feel like shit about myself. And he's very nice. Wait till you hear what he does in life. You're going to feel like you're an asshole.
Anyway, I am the Pope.
You are the Pope. You are the gay Pope.
So I got to ride dirt bikes growing up. We went river rafting, hiked all the time. It was amazing. Wow. Moved down to Southern California.
Sounds like Frontierland and Six Flags.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's based on. And then I moved down to Southern California and I did nothing. I became a couch potato. We wakeboarded a lot and surfed, but not nearly as much as I went outside in Oregon.
How old were you when you came out?
It was my freshman year of college.
19.
I was still 18. 18 when I came out.
That was my, everybody, that sounds, seems like the year for a lot of people still.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up gay for you in middle school in Oregon? Like, was there a difference of being gay in Oregon than being gay in California?
No, I mean, now I can see there definitely is. It was just that I felt like different than everyone else in my class, obviously in my school. There was no like GSA or anything. There were no out people.
That's a gay straight alliance people. It's a club if you don't know what that is.
Yeah. But there was also none down here. So I don't know. I just thought because there were so many more people down here that I would mm-hmm. find my group. And I had friends in Oregon, but I always thought of them as sort of temporary friends. For whatever reason, I justified it that way. And I thought it'd be different down here, and it wasn't. But it's definitely, so my mom lives just outside of Ashland, which is mm-hmm. a really liberal, progressive town.
Yeah, they have a big film festival in Ashland.
Yeah, actually the Shakespeare Festival is there as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the biggest.
There are queers running amok there.
Yeah, and it's also a college town. That's where Southern Oregon University is.
Oh my God, if you had Grindr when you were in middle school, what would have happened?
Oh God, yeah. Things would have been much different.
Things would have been much different.
So that actually is the most sort of accepting area of Southern Oregon in terms of sort of diversity, mm-hmm. Much more accepting than where I grew up in Southern California. So
that's interesting, because I think a lot of people think of California as that weird liberal place where you can fuck a goat.
Yeah, no, you go to like Inland Empire, and it is. I mean,
it's a different scene.
We had like racial riots at my school. Like it was of Mexican immigrants, and then a lot of like bros, like white bros who were horrible and. Yeah, I don't know. It was just not what I envisioned Southern California being.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
school was fun.
It actually was. I mean, I found my friends who I loved.
What clubs were you in high school?
None. I was in no clubs at all. I did nothing active. I hung out with my best friends who were twins, like every day after school at their house. Went out to parties sometimes. Went out on our boat. We lived on a lake mm-hmm. in the community that we lived in, so we went out on the boat a lot. Went to the beach a lot. But I did nothing like extracurricular. I'm surprised I got into college. I had nothing. Like my grades weren't even good. I don't know how I got into college, but yeah.
So, and you went to college where?
UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay. That's a big party school.
It is.
It's a big party. Did you party?
I did. I didn't apply. So I applied to pretty much every UC aside from like UCR and UC.
It's also a highly rated school though, actually.
It is. And I always bring that up, even though I was an English major and they're really well known for like their engineering department and, mm-hmm. and like their STEM majors. I was an English major, and they actually have a really good English department, but all like their Nobel laureates are in the sciences. So anyway, yeah, I went there with actually a good amount of people from my high school. And then I found really good friends. I came out like the first week I was there, I was on my friend's floor in our dorm, and I saw one of my best friends now, Tyson. I saw him like just skipping down the hallway, and I was like, I need to be friends with him. Like I need to find a gay friend. And so he was my very first gay person that I was friends with, and it changed my life. I came out to my friends at UCSB within like the first few weeks at school, and then spring break I came out to my family, and it's all because I went to a school where there were gay people.
Wow. And your family's cool?
Yeah, it was surprising. I thought it would be sort of my dad would be really like homophobic or unaccepting. My mom would be really accepting. Mm-hmm. But my dad went to like Otis as an undergrad. He's a pilot. He was a pilot for United, and my stepmom was a flight attendant. So my stepmom, her best friend was gay. She knew a lot of gay people. And so I think she really opened up my dad to this idea of gay people being like anyone else.
Yeah.
And my mom is British. And so she grew up in a really like old part of England with like no black people, like no gay people anywhere. And so when she came to America, I don't think she ever really was exposed to that many gay people. I mean, she talks about it now. Like she had some gay friends, but when I came out to her, I was expecting a much different reaction, and she cried a lot. And it was sort of like the stereotypical, like, I'm not upset that you're gay. I'm just so worried about like the road ahead of you.
My mom did that.
Yeah. And it was,
she cried when she said, you'd be such a good father. Yeah. She started sobbing.
I'm like, you know,
cut to now, she's like, when are you going to have a baby?
Yeah, my mom too. She's completely changed. And she has like trans friends and gay friends. And she's amazing. And she's always been amazing. It was just a really new thing for her then. And so I wanted to tell them both in person, or my dad, stepmom, and my mom in person. So I drove up to Oregon, told my mom, had that whole fallout, then drove down to California and told my dad and stepmom. When I told my dad and stepmom, they were just like, oh, yeah, like, okay. And I think it's because I went to high school in their house, or like was living in their house when I went to high school. So they saw everything I did on the internet. They saw my friends. They saw that like all my friends were girls. So they saw it coming.
You graduated high school when?
2005.
There would have been so much gay porn on my parents' computer if I was in high school.
Yeah, I had no idea how to erase the internet history.
No history. You didn't know.
Yeah. I was like, they're never going to see.
Mom's like, what's Sean Cody? Oh, my God. Yeah. I had no idea. I mentioned them a lot on this show. They should sponsor me. They shouldn't.
I don't think that'd be good. You'd get much different guests.
That would cut out my viewership or my listenership for sure. So, okay, well, tell everybody how we met.
Okay, so we met at the Ventura Pride Beach Festival. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were walking around sort of mingling with the tables and mm-hmm. you talked to me about, was this Ventura Pride?
No, it wasn't.
LA Pride.
It was LA Pride. Yeah.
And so you stopped by my booth.
Cause we couldn't afford a booth. I was there for my camp for Brave Trails. So I was walking around in like a weird camp director hat.
Yeah.
Asking kids to come to my camp, kids, come to gay camp. And they all were horrified by me. Horrified.
And so you came up to my booth. I was at the Peace Corps booth and you started talking about what you were doing. And I was just enamored by it. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And we talked for a long time. And you were just obviously...
You were like my saving intellectual grace at Pride. I was like, oh my God, somebody who's just not with a beer with their shirt off going, woohoo! Trying to like suck a dick on the street.
Yeah, Peace Corps, a lot of times, and we go to all the Pride festivals and we're usually like the... we stick out a lot compared to the other booths there. So, yeah. So we
You're like the one booth that doesn't hand out condoms and lube.
Yeah. I do collect them, those. I got a lot of them, a lot of that from everyone there.
You never have to go shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. And then so, and I like when in meeting you, it was kind of like meeting like a Santa Claus or something. It was like something you hear about all the time, mm-hmm. but you never meet anybody who is been in the Peace Corps.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's almost like, not the Peace Corps is not a joke, but I almost grew up being like, you would, you know, people would run off and get eloped or people would want to run off to the Peace Corps. Like, you know what I mean? It was just kind of something that it just wasn't in my life. And a lot of, at least, my mom grew up doing stuff with the church and stuff like that, but even like, philanthropy wasn't a big part of my life growing up. I mean, well, that's not true. Philanthropy was part of my life growing up Catholic in church.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it wasn't until I got older that I was like, oh, I don't have to be in a church to do things for other people.
Yeah, it was just framed in that way.
It was just framed in that framework. So it was just listening to you talk about the Peace Corps. It was like you were excited. You're like, I want to hear about your camp. And I'm like, I want to hear about the Peace Corps.
Yeah. I mean, it was my first time hearing about a camp like this. So I was just like, tell me everything.
That's the way I felt about you. So now is your chance to like, tell me everything. Tell me how you got involved in the Peace Corps. And
yeah. Okay. So I need to start by saying that I do not reflect the views of the U.S. government. These are my own views. I am a Peace Corps employee. So I have to make that distinction that this is not my job. I'm not reflecting the views of the agency.
This is Timon.
Yeah, this is the real
not
me.
The Peace Corps. Go ahead.
So after graduating UCSB, actually my roommate for 1 year at UCSB grew up in Kenya, and he had mentioned that his parents met as Peace Corps volunteers or did Peace Corps together. And then they then worked for the embassy
that is
in Kenya.
So hot.
Yeah, it actually is pretty common for people to meet.
Because you meet like-minded people. I mean,
definitely. And you're in a very unique experience
together. Yeah.
So I had heard about it, but I had never even thought in a million years that it was, I didn't know anything about it. And so I graduated from UCSB. I was dating a guy at the time who had just started at Columbia in New York. And so he was in his freshman year there as I was in my senior year at UCSB.
Younger.
Yeah. So like an idiot, I decided, I'll move to New York when I graduate. My original plan had been to move to London, but I was like, well, it's halfway there. It's like I'm settling until he's graduated. Then we'll go to London together. I moved to New York.
Things we do for dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in hindsight.
Or love.
It's synonymous. and so I moved there, and we broke up like 8 months after that. We're like, it's different living in the same city. So I was living in New York, working a job I did not enjoy very much. I was volunteering in my free time at like a radical feminist bookstore and for Gay City News, this newspaper in New York. Mm-hmm. And my friend from UCSB was applying to Peace Corps. And so he was telling me about like his whole process of applying. And I was like, oh, that sounds like, I don't know, that sounds interesting. I feel like I'm living and working in a job I hate to volunteer the little free time I have and the things I actually care about. So I started to do more research and it sounded awesome. I was like, oh, I can volunteer all of my time. I don't have to pay for it. The government's going to pay for it. And I can go to another country and really figure out like what I want to do with my life while helping other people, and use some of the skills that I have from volunteering as an undergrad to do better. I'm not going to go be Mother Teresa and change the world, but at least I can do something good rather than being here in New York and doing nothing. Yeah. So I applied not being like 100% sure that it was what I wanted to do. And then it just sort of started snowballing from there. I started to do more research, talk to Return Peace Corps volunteers, talk to a recruiter, got an interview. And then I sort of delayed my application process took forever. It was like a year long application process. Because I wasn't 100% into it, I was delaying everything. Like I wasn't turning in my medical paperwork on time. So it took a long time. Originally I was supposed to go to, I think they were going to send me to either Asia or like Southeast Asia or Africa. And then that got postponed because I delayed my paperwork. And so then they invited me.
To North Dakota.
And so it was different. The whole application process was different back then, but it was very sort of opaque. They would be like, okay, we're nominating you to this region of the world. And then you're going to potentially be invited to a country. It may not be in the same region.
Now you know more, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Can you even choose? Oh,
exactly.
You can choose? Oh.
Yeah. So it's different now. You can still say you're willing to go anywhere.
Sorry, but Mormons on a mission. You still got to wait. Peace Corps, we're changing.
So then I got an invitation to Peru, and I was like, yeah, like absolutely. Like I'd never been to South America, and I don't know, the packet that came then would include like all the country information, the work description. And then I started to connect with volunteers who were currently in Peru, and I was like, oh, this sounds awesome. I feel like I really won the lottery getting Peru. So I accepted my invitation, told my boss, and was like, I'm doing it. I told all my family and friends. I moved back from New York to my dad's house for a few months to like see everyone, and then I left.
And you were in Peru for how long?
So I was a unique situation. I actually came home a little bit early, but in total I was there for about 2 years.
Oh, people go longer than 2 years?
So overall it's 27 months. It's 3 months of training in the country you're going to serve in, followed by 2 years of service.
I wish I would have done it. I think it would have changed my life trajectory for sure.
I mean, you can still do it.
Oh, I thought you have to be young.
No, so you have to be at least 18 years old, but
We're going to get to a section of the show where I want to say like what is required for Peace Corps.
Okay, but yeah, people, the oldest guy who's done it came back when he was like 86 or 87.
My mother is screaming at the radio right now saying, Matt, don't you go to fucking Peace Corps.
My mom,
but that would be fun.
Sort of thought that way, and then she ended up coming to visit me, and now she is really, really proud of me.
So, well, yeah. So so you went to Peru. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff were you doing there?
So Peace Corps is sort
of... How many shots did you have to get? Lord.
A lot. Yeah. And I think that's sort of on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of how many shots you have to get depending on which country you go to.
Yeah, if you go to like... I'm sure Africa, you're...
Yeah, so like any country with malaria or... I mean, there are a whole plethora of shots and immunizations you'll need to get depending on where you go. I didn't have to get very many. So I was a health volunteer. We're broken into six different sectors. Health is the second largest. So Peace Corps is structured. We don't tell any country they need us, and we also don't tell any country that we go to what they need from us. They ask for Peace Corps to go there, and then they say, we need you to come here for these reasons.
Oh,
and so we sort of break those down into different categories. Health is our second largest sort of area in which we receive requests for assistance. And what you do as a health volunteer really depends on, one, which country you go to, but then two, where you end up within that country.
Is the Peace Corps considered part of like the military?
No,
or like
so
the
it's
armed
an,
force.
It's, not. It's an independent federal agency. I think technically it's like under the executive branch, but it's independent, so we're not under any other agency.
Okay.
And so Peru had asked health volunteers to go there to address their high rates of infant malnutrition, and also to focus on adolescent sexual health education. So a lot of that was focused on like in terms of infant malnutrition was focused on like maternal health and family planning and nutrition for children and early childhood stimulation, a whole host of factors that are affecting the health of the kids and like how many kids families are having and how that maybe should be limited depending on their resources. And then I also taught sexual health education for adolescents in the secondary school.
So what was it? Did you have any concerns, and maybe they played into this, like, would you go to Peace Corps? Would you go to a country like Jamaica, which is a very one of the most dangerous places in the world currently, like for LGBT people to live? Like, so was that that would be a concern for me if I joined the Peace Corps?
So I talked about that at length with my recruiter.
That's all my mother would talk about.
Yeah. I talked about that at length with my recruiter because that is something Peace Corps will never tell you whether or not you should come out of the closet. They don't assume your sexual orientation or gender identity. So I self-identified during my application process, But I said, I also want you to know, like, I don't want that to affect, like, where I get placed at all. I don't want this to in any way affect my service, because I think it could be a powerful thing to go somewhere where it is illegal or, I don't know, a negative climate for LGBTQ people. So, yes, it could have affected where I was placed. It probably still did, even though I asked for them not to consider that, because at the end of the day, their number one concern is
your safety.
The safety of their volunteers. As same-sex couples, you can't go to a country where it's illegal. So you couldn't go to, like, Senegal. But for me, I could go...
I don't even know where that is.
Senegal?
I'm a stupid American.
No, I wouldn't know where half of these countries were had I not done Peace Corps.
Where's Senegal?
It's on the coast of West Africa.
Oh. Okay. Beaches.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. So if you're a couple, so they took you to Peru.
Yeah, they took me to Peru. And we talked a lot about whether or not I'd come out. And I said, I would sort of figure it out. They said, we recommend, just because of the culture, that you may not want to. But at the end of the day, it's up to you whether or not you do. And a lot of that has to do with, like, the size of your community and who you can trust, things like that. I decided not to come out to my community or my host family. So I came out to all the other volunteers, all the Peace Corps staff, and like other Peruvians outside of my community, but never to my host family or my community.
Oh, wow. Was that difficult?
I thought it would be. I thought it would drastically change the nature
of the
relationships.
So you live with families for 2 years?
Depending on which country you go to. In Peru, yes, you do.
Okay.
Regardless of where you go, for the first 3 months, you live with a host family to help with, like, language training and cultural immersion.
And what is the language they speak there?
Spanish.
It is Spanish.
Yeah. So there are some, like, very few places that volunteers go where they speak Quechua. And that's, like, has zero similarities to Spanish. But for everywhere else in the country, it's Spanish.
So are you fluent now in Spanish?
I was when I got back, but I haven't used it for a little over 2 years now.
But you can, if somebody talks in Spanish, you can understand what they're saying?
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. I mean, depending on which country they're from. And even within Peru, like, which region
from. It's dialects and
like
types
slang.
Of Spanish. Yeah.
But yeah, like, for the most part, I can understand and converse in Spanish. It's just a lot more difficult now than it was when I was in Peru.
Have you ever been in a situation, because you're white, you look white. Have you ever been in a situation where people are talking about you in Spanish and you knew they were?
Yeah. So, like, a few times this has happened, never in California, I think, because everyone assumes that everyone speaks Spanish. So they don't feel like they have that sort of privacy.
We're going off GDD. We're going off the rails.
But it's happened a few times when I was visiting a friend in DC, and she was actually a friend from Peace Corps Peru. So we, like, were able to converse back with them, be like, oh, what are you talking about? We can understand you.
Oh, what did they say?
I mean, then it became like a funny thing. Oh, okay. And we became pals.
Oh, well, good. I'll say you're nice. So, okay. So, I mean, obviously, it sounds like your experience was good, because now you work for the Peace Corps.
Yeah.
Obviously, you wouldn't be like, this sucked. I need a job. Hey, PCs.
Yeah.
Is that the slang they say? They call each other PCs?
So
they don't.
They don't. That was a reach and a miss.
Yeah.
No, we call, so when you're a volunteer, you're a PCV, a Peace Corps volunteer. When you've, like, come home, you're a return Peace Corps volunteer, so an RPCV.
Oh, that sounds very...
A lot of acronyms in Peace Corps and the government.
So you came back, and then did you start working for them soon afterwards?
So I came back, and I came back pretty abruptly, and I started looking for jobs, not really intensely.
Was there a reason you came back, or can you not talk about it?
No, I mean...
Did you sleep with somebody? You slept with your boss?
No, I feel like... If we delve into why I came back, it's going to be a humongous, gigantic pool of worms. Not even a can.
Okay. Well, we'll leave the worms alone.
Okay. So
are the guys cute in Peru?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I bet.
I mean, guys are cute everywhere.
Well, you know, that's true. Where were you actually in Peru?
So training was done outside of Lima. Then my first site was in Huancavelica, which is the poorest department in Peru, which is just southeast of Lima, between Lima and Cusco. And then I got a site change because there wasn't work potential for me there. And so I moved to Piura, which is the second northernmost department. So departments are like states in Peru. Mm-hmm. And Piura is the second northernmost department. And I was on the border of Piura and Ecuador.
So what?
So job search. Sorry. So then I came back and I started.
Well, I do have a question though, still about Peru. I'm interested. Like, how did that experience? I know this could be a 3-hour conversation, but like, what do you feel like were the top two takeaways of what changed your perspective?
Yeah.
Of living in a country, and I'm assuming not like, how poor were these countries? Were these people that didn't have running water or toilets? Or were they, I don't know. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So health volunteers were sent to some of the more rural sites, just because that was the nature of where the most attention was needed. Mm-hmm. So there were a few volunteers who didn't have running water. A really close friend of mine, Katie, didn't have running water, so she would have to collect water from the river and carry it back to her house. We had running water until 5 o'clock every day. But there's no potable water anywhere in Peru, so you can't drink any of the water out of a tap. You have to boil it or purify it in some way. Electricity, we had almost all the time. It would cut out for sometimes days on end, but for the most part, we had electricity all the time. It was very poor. I mean, we had latrines. A lot of volunteers worked on latrine projects. So the site that I was in for most of my service had a volunteer before me, so they had built a latrine in the house that I was staying at. So it was like essentially a toilet made of cement. There are a ton of different models of latrines you can build, but mine was made of cement and was like it actually had a like sort of lever to flush, but didn't work in the way that you would think. It sort of just poured out into a hole down below where the bathroom was.
Mm.
So there was a lot of poor flushing, a lot of just open hole latrines. Very poor. So I lived on. So volunteers live on a stipend that's determined by essentially like the level that everyone's living around on in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived on $350 per month, and it was far, far more than my host family lived on. So I felt like I had a lot more money than I probably should have. So if that gives you any idea of the level of poverty they're living
in. Wow. So what were the two like takeaways just from that experience?
Yeah. So one of them is, in terms of how it changed my perspective, was just living on realizing you can be happy with anything that you have. It's just a matter of being accustomed to it. So, mm-hmm. I had nothing compared to what I have here, and I was just as happy, if not happier being there. And that was one of the hardest parts coming home, is that you just have to adjust to how much we have here, mm-hmm. And how much waste that sort of mm-hmm. Results in. So it changed the way that I look at what I needed to be happy. And that sort of related to that, one of the things that changed is how much I value my like personal relationships, mm-hmm. With my friends, with my family, with everyone in my life, and how much I rely on them.
Mm.
I definitely relied on everyone in my life during my Peace Corps service. I made some of my best friends in my Peace Corps group. And so it just made me realize how important people are to my happiness.
Because you were away from the people that you knew and loved for 2 years.
Yeah. And a lot of people look at Peace Corps like, oh, you're going to take a break. And what's it like being away for 2 years? But you're not. You create your own life where you go. You create a whole new life with all these other people that you're around, host country nationals, Peace Corps volunteers. I created my own family and my own friends down there. And
can you be a lifer? Can some people like do the Peace Corps for like 10 years?
I mean, I guess theoretically you could. People have done like back-to-back services. You can extend your service. There was, I think, the longest person who was currently in Peru when I was there was in her fourth year. So she extended 2 extra years. And then there were a few people in my group who were doing Peace Corps for the second time, some directly after they'd gotten home, some like a few years later. You can do it as many times as you want to. And the more you do it, the more qualified you are to do it again.
Yeah, of course. Of course, of course, of course. And so then you, so now you do what with the Peace Corps?
So now I recruit. I came back and I started working for Homeland Security.
Homeland Security?
Yeah.
Like at the airport?
No. That's part of Homeland Security, but that's, could be like TSA. But I was working in their Citizenship and Immigration Services Division and the Asylum Division of that. So I was working essentially in an office that was processing asylum applications for people trying to seek asylum in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
And it sounded, when I got the job, it sounded really, really cool, but it was just a lot of doing like security checks and paperwork, which was not entertaining for me. No. So this job came up with Peace Corps, and it sounded amazing. Like I talked to a lot of people who had recruited for Peace Corps before, and they said it was really fun. You talk about your service all the time, which is something we all want to do, but no one really wants to hear about. Mm-hmm. So I took this, and I love it.
How long have you been doing it?
About a year and 3 months.
Oh, wow. So you're still... I just heard my phone beep. I didn't turn off my fucking phone like I told you to. So just make time. Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
You didn't listen to your own advice.
Sorry, my friend T is texting me. All right. Sorry, we're back. I could have taken that out, but I don't want to edit people. So there we go. That's inspiring hearing that.
And you can only work for Peace Corps as an employee for 5 years. And then you can leave for 5 years and then come back. So it's just part of the nature of the way they design the agency so that there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of new ideas and like a sort of vigor always. And so I'll have to find a new job in the next 3 years.
So what are the qualifications for somebody that wants to apply for the Peace Corps? What's the breakdown of that?
I mean,
and then we're going to get to questions, people. I swear, I'm just interested in this.
I'm
join the Peace Corps.
I mean, a lot of people come to Peace Corps and they're like, "Oh, I want to help. Why can't I do it?" And there's a lot of reasons for why we have qualifications, but the main reason is that we're promising these countries that we're going to send trained Americans to help them. We don't want to just send someone who's altruistic and wants to give back. We want to send someone who has like relevant experience. So at the very base, you have to be an American citizen, a U.S. citizen, and you have to be 18 years old. Other than that, the qualifications depend on what you want to do as a volunteer. Oh, okay. So I was an English major as an undergrad. That would have qualified me to teach English with Peace Corps. But I also had a lot of experience volunteering and working in like healthcare and health education. Mm-hmm. So that qualified me for the health sector. So I sort of elected to do that instead.
So if I did it, because I have a master's in counseling, like I could go like working in counseling services or something, like maybe, I don't know, people need counseling if they don't have fucking water. They don't need to talk about their mother issues.
So, I mean, we don't determine, like I said, we don't determine what we do. So no countries are really asking for things that specific or, I guess, at that level.
They're more rudimentary levels.
Yeah, I mean, and we do have a sector, it's youth and development, that those volunteers work with at-risk youth. And mm-hmm. so counseling experience is mm-hmm. obviously very relevant for that. So for those assignments, we're looking for MSWs or licensed social workers or people who have a lot of experience working with at-risk youth.
Can I do this in Spain or France?
No. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just wondering about that. Yeah, you're not going to go there.
So, I mean, they have like criteria. You have to be, the country has to be below a certain level on the human development index. And they also have to request volunteers. They have to be safe. They can't be like politically unstable. So yeah, there are a lot of different factors that go into which countries we serve in.
Did you ever get to meet the president or something crazy like that?
Because no, we did. We met the ambassador. And
sorry, you're wiping your forehead. It's starting to get sweaty, folks.
Yeah, it's very.
We're working for you.
It's Bikram yoga in here.
It is.
So we met the ambassador because she was there for like our swearing-in ceremony after our training.
Ambassador of
the U.S. ambassador to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but no, we never met the president.
You get sworn in.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Did you ever have celebrities that just want photo ops of doing things in other countries come and like? You always wonder, like, what group are they really working with?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I did have interaction, not celebrities, but with, like, missionaries. So, like, other Americans that were in Peru. And it was either tourists or missionaries.
Wow.
No celebrities.
Because Peru is beautiful, at least. I don't know where it was when you were, but...
Yeah, it was in... I mean...
Machu Picchu's in Peru.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and my site looked... It was, I mean, breathtaking. It looked like the jungle. It was incredibly green. I mean, it was very humid and it rained and then got really hot. But because
I'm
of
sure
all
you
that,
didn't have air conditioning.
No. So, yeah, it was much hotter than we are right now.
Oh, my God. I can't. Nope. There, screw you, Peace Corps. We're done. I'm done. Fuck that. We're fine.
It's a beautiful country.
I'll just give to a clothing drive and feel good about myself.
You're not going to give up any of your clothing, let's be honest.
No, I'm not. Actually, I just did. I just did a purge. I did that.
The purge?
What is that woman that talks about you should... Sorry, I'm going to raise my mic. She talks about how you should clean, and when you give away things, you ask yourself, "What does this give me joy?" And so I did that with every single piece of clothing. I would look at a shirt and say, "Does this give me joy to wear this?" And it's some famous one who did this. What? It's a book you can buy, but don't read the book. Just look it up online. And so that's what I did. I would look at a shirt and, well, first of all, if my boyfriend said it was cute or not, because he's more stylish than I am, because I'm wearing a freaking tank top for you and like Adidas shorts now. Oh, you're wearing Adidas shirts.
Yeah,
I know, but you're wearing like cute jean shorts and you have a cute watch. Me, no. Your hair is fixed. I just woke up. And so anyway, but if he like gave me a pass, if he's like, yeah, I like it, you can wear that.
Yeah.
Then I'd look at him and be like, does this give me joy to wear this?
Okay.
And I threw out, or I gave away actually, 8 bags, like big trash bags of clothing.
How much clothing did you have?
Well, I have clothing from like, I just never have cleaned out my closet in probably like 7 years.
Okay, that's fair. I have stuff from 7 years ago that I'm never going to get rid of.
Well, there's some things that are nostalgic, some things that still give me joy.
Yeah.
But there were other things like, okay, I'm not going to wear this shirt anymore.
It's like an undershirt from middle school.
Yes, and I also had 2 different wardrobes a little bit because I've lost like 16 pounds. So I had fat clothes and then I had normal clothes. So there was a little bit of that too.
Okay.
So,
well, good for you.
There wasn't a lot of fat clothes though because I was too, on principle, I didn't want to buy any. I just looked like a fat pickle or something like stuffed into my clothes. You know, I don't know what a fat pickle looks like.
I don't know. I love pickles. So
I do.
Sound
I love pickles. Hey, you know what Freud said, that a pickle is not just a pickle. Sorry. Dick joke. All right. Let's talk about some questions before we sweat ourselves to death.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much for oh, if people want to volunteer for the Peace Corps, where would they go?
Peacecorps.gov.
Great.
Yep.
That's great. Love it. All right. This is from Jenna, age 28. And Jenna writes, Dear Maddie, my mother is very, very, very set in her ways, but she needs a new hairstyle. I go home to my Texas town not very often, and my mom still has the big hair like everyone else. She goes to the hairdresser once a week, gets her hair ratted and teased up. But my mom is only 54. She's not old. But it's just everybody in my town. What? Yes, everyone in my town that is her friend are older. She's acclimated to this small town, and I can't get her out of this rut. What do I do? It's from Jenna, age 28. I like that we're talking about Peace Corps moment, and now we're talking about
hairstyles.
Hair. But that's okay. That's okay, Jenna. I saw that you went, oh, what she said.
I can just envision this absolutely horrible hairspray hair that I don't.
Like. I have some aunts. Well, no, none of my aunts actually yet go to the hairstylist, I think, once a week. Maybe they do.
Okay.
But I don't think so.
Even my grandma used to be like that, and she's like adapted, and her hair is trendier than.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, you have a trendy grandmother.
I mean, I wouldn't call her trendy, but her hair isn't like that description.
Well, there are still is that the they rat it up, and I think it's maybe more. I don't know. Maybe it's more prevalent in the South.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe just because there's more people that live in rural areas.
Yeah.
Because it's also too, and it usually is the same hairstylist.
Yeah.
That gives everybody the same hairstyle.
Yeah.
And they all have like highlights, but it's not like subtle highlights. It's just like big blocks of blonde and then another kind of color blonde. And then they just have like a big block of red.
Oh, God. This is like those chunky block colored hairstyles remind me so much of where I'm from in high school. So many people do their hair like that, where it's just like blocks of color and it looks absolutely horrendous.
If your hair is like that, fix it. I'm telling you now, listeners, it's not pretty.
You can still dye it. Just make it do a nice, more subtle.
Do a nice ombre, something like that. Google hair ombre. Please. I'm not a hair guru. Yes, please. So with Jenna,
I think she should, does her mom read magazines? Like she needs to be looking at hairstyles and seeing like that she's not reflected in any media.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's true.
Any positive media.
Because did it say where Jenna lives now? No. So I'm assuming Jenna lives in a bigger town because she said she's kind of talking about the small townness.
Yeah.
Jenna, I think you just talk to your mom. I mean, that's pretty much the answer to this question.
But it's touchy. So my mom was like dabbling with the idea of going gray, and I kept telling her, like, yeah, do it. Do whatever you want to do. And so she finally did, and it looked so much better, and she like restyled her hair.
I told my mother not to.
Really?
Yeah. She wanted to go gray. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Her boyfriend convinced her anyway, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just had a little revelation, Jenna. I told my mother not to color her hair because it was about me a little bit because I was like, I can't be that old to have a gray-headed mother.
Yeah.
And so, Jenna, like maybe like find out from your mom if she really likes her hair that way or she just gets it styled that way because that's what everybody else is doing. Like, but maybe it's if she's not dead set at her, I don't know. Maybe you could, I like the idea of like what magazine she's reading and maybe go ahead.
I mean, you could potentially just roofie her and then do her hair while she's sleeping.
Oh, wow, Ty. Wow. That's wow. Wow. Don't reflect the Peace Corps here, okay? Yeah, just roofie her and do her hair. I mean, maybe you could take her for a spa day.
Yeah.
Y'all could go get your nails done, and then maybe she would try a new type of hairdresser. Maybe try that. And then if that doesn't work, Jenna, then just I would talk to her. I would just talk to her and say, hey, like, and maybe not say your hair looks bad, but maybe more like, this is really beautiful about you. I saw like, oh, I know. Maybe there's a celebrity your mother likes, or does your mom watch Ellen, or she, because you could always say, oh, I saw like there was this makeover thing on this show, or this celebrity did her hair like this or something like that.
Yeah.
And give her a reference point.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if her mom's happy with it, like, I think that's more important
than
her
daughter. That is more important, but maybe that she's... You just tell her Jesus told you in a dream, your mother needs to change her hair. That's it.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
She'll have no questions.
A little bit of Jesus.
Yeah, a little bit of Jesus, Jenna.
That sounds dirty. No, I like, if Jenna, yeah, you're right. If your mother really, really likes it, but also too, like, you know, maybe like on a deeper level, like, is your mother the type of person that likes to change?
Yeah.
It sounds like your grandmother probably maybe rolls with things a little bit more, I'm imagining.
Yes.
If your mom is 54 and she's already kind of set in her ways, you know, I remember my mother in her 50s would say stuff like, ugh, I just feel so old. And I kept saying, you're not old. Why are you saying that?
Yeah.
And honestly, when I kind of talked to my mom more, she kept bringing it up and saying that and saying that, and I kept deflecting it. And then I talked to her and realized she wasn't happy at the time. She was in a marriage. She wasn't happy. So she felt old. She felt kind of stuck. So maybe, like, maybe a point, maybe it's not about your mom's hair. Maybe not. Maybe it's your mom is happy as a sissy in a dick tree. She's just like the happiest. But maybe this is a conversation about her feeling stuck in life.
I wonder, it doesn't mention whether or not she's single, does it?
No. See, that's a good. If she's single, then just give her the fear that she'll never get a man. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that, Jenna. Don't do that. That's what they would do where I'm from. You are never going to get a husband with your hair like that,
Cindy. They probably say that in Texas.
No one would ever sleep with you, let alone go out to the Walmart with you. That's what they would say. It's true.
I bet it works.
Yeah, I bet it works. Anything else you want to add to that? I don't know.
No.
We're just sweating, Jenna. We got to get through this shit. Jesus. All right. Okay. This is from Daniel, age 25. Daniel writes, Dear Maddie, my boyfriend... Oh, we got a homo in the house.
Yay.
All right. Yay. Dear Maddie, my boyfriend is against manscaping, but I love no hair. He even has some back hair, and I want him to get rid of it, but he says it hurts and that he believes God put hair there for some health reason. I want him to get rid of it. How do I say this to him without this doesn't make sense. How do I say this? You need to learn to write your sentences, Daniel. How do I say this to him without saying what I really feel? If that's what you mean, then that's wrong, Daniel. Oh, I'm sorry. How do I say this to him without saying... How do I say this to him without saying what I really feel, that he's a Sasquatch?
Wow.
Wow, Daniel. All right.
So, I mean, my first question is, if he feels that he's a Sasquatch, why is he with him?
But, well, I don't know. Maybe he loves the man and not the hair. Ooh, that's a quote. That's a quote.
So I actually had a friend who has a lot of body hair, and he struggled
with
it.
You have none. You look like you're 12. You look like you're fucking 8 years old. Have you ever shaved anything in your life?
Yes. I have. I've never done waxing. I don't think I ever will.
Oh, I did once. Anyway, talk about your friend.
Yeah, once. That's the key there. So he tried like waxing, shaving, and it was like back hair. It was a lot. And it made him really insecure and uncomfortable, and it was horrible. And so he only recently has like learned to love it, to love himself. Mm. And it's changed his self-confidence drastically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I hate to say it, but like, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's not surrounding himself with people who judge him for having body hair.
Yeah.
I think it's a really horrible thing, because it's something intrinsic about your physical presence. And I mean, shaving it, or I don't know, getting electrolysis or whatever, is it worth it? I don't think so. I think that he could probably get past this if he loves the guy underneath.
I mean, yeah, I agree that. I mean, it just depends on like, I mean, I feel like I'm way hairier actually. And like, I know it doesn't look like, but I'm more blonde. So like, and I totally have like hair on my back. And I once got it waxed and it was, the pain wasn't that bad, but actually I'm really sensitive skin and it like broke me out and it was terrible. It was terrible. I got a skin infection and all this crap and I had to go to the doctor and all this stuff. God. My back looks fine now. there's actually like I usually do in the summer. It's called like sugaring. It's all natural. They take sugar and lemon juice and water and they just make a paste and then they kind of smear this thick paste on your back and then they pull it back and it rips out the hair. But I mean, you can eat the stuff. So
I probably wouldn't.
That still hurts like a motherfucking son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That said, but I'm pretty good with pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't do it that often. And like, I know my boyfriend, I said, what do you like? He's like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So,
how long does that last?
Like 2 months.
Okay.
And then the more you do it, it comes back in less and less. Yeah. I don't do that. I do it like in the summer. In the winter, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better at it, but I am self-conscious about back hair. Even though it is like blonde and like fuzzy, I am self-conscious about it. I don't know why. Because I used to think that like at pool parties, I didn't want to like go to a pool party because I'm like Chubbs McGee a little bit. And especially here in LA where everyone looks like, you know, you or
Calista
even
Flockhart.
Or like Roy. Yeah, really Calista Flockhart. You look healthy. And but I realized, no, it wasn't. It was the whole back hair thing. And because I went to my friend's 40th birthday in Mexico, and I was like, fuck it. I got a beer belly. I don't care.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is that, and also, too, like, I mean, is it just about, like, you mentioned his back, but is it like, I mean, everybody manscapes, I think.
Yeah.
I said, do you manscape? Yeah, I don't know a guy, gay or straight, who doesn't.
Yeah.
So, like.
And if they don't, I've definitely heard about it from the other people who've hooked up with them and hate it.
It's just, I will say this, and I agree with you that, Daniel, if your boyfriend's listening to the show with you or not, and you can tell him from me, it's not, if someone's sucking your penis, trim a little bit. It's just helpful for them.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It'll make it more pleasurable for you.
Yeah. It's just helpful.
Yeah.
But what I kind of rubbed me a little bit, and when you kind of went, oh, is at the end of the sentence when you say, like, feeling that he's a Sasquatch, and I'm just like, and you brought this up earlier. I hope you're not, Daniel, putting like an almost like a judgment of what type of person he is because he has body hair.
Yeah.
Like something he has no control over.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people, and I know you're like, oh, I wouldn't do that. But how often, like, people say this? Do you say this? Do you ever go, ooh, it's gross. Ooh, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff has to affect your boyfriend emotionally.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the same thing you hear like in middle school. It's like that stuff affects you.
Yeah.
And eats away at you at a deep level. So if he's saying that stuff to his boyfriend, that's...
I hope you're not, Daniel. Maybe you're not. But I don't know. I don't have a good feeling, Daniel.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's not like that, then I would just say it would make our sex life better if you did this. I would give you more head if you manscaped.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's an incentive.
That's an incentive. The back thing, just deal with it. It's manly.
Yeah.
It's weird, too. I actually don't mind it on guys I'm with. It's just a me thing.
Yeah.
But, again, I'm with someone who's, like, totally hairless, so he doesn't ever have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, I think so, too, Daniel. Like, maybe it's thinking about, I don't know how long you've been dating your boyfriend, but, like, what's really important in your relationship? Like, is there something else you're going to be focusing on? Or, I don't know. I just kind of thought you were a little flippant in your email, Daniel. I don't know. I just think maybe focus on, like, the great things that are going on in your relationship.
Yeah. Like, what about this guy do you like? Why are you with him?
Exactly. I know you're do the shirt. It's warm. It's warm. Hi, Sophie. I know you're panting.
She's like, why is it so hot?
Okay, this next question is going to be, we take every question here, Ty.
Okay.
Whatever somebody sends me, we take the question.
I like that.
So, okay, well, this question is from Jared, age 21, who says, Dear Maddie, what is a reach around? All right, so.
that's it? That's the entire question?
That's the entire question is what is reach around.
Does he not have access to Google?
Yeah, that's really what I'm not going to go. My mother listens to this show sometimes. Not really. I don't think anyone of him. No, but I'm not going to. You just need to Google. You're over 18. No, your parents aren't going to check your internet history, Jared. Like,
it's mutually beneficial.
It is mutually beneficial.
Sure, everyone's satisfied.
And I don't know if you're in same sex sex or guy girl sex or girl whatever. Reach arounds have different definitions.
Yeah, that's a good
point. However you're floating your boat, sugar, I want you to Google that. You want, but
not at the public library.
Yes, but to me, a reach around is when you're in the grocery store and someone asks you to get something from the aisle, and you reach around them and grab the box of Kraft macaroni and cheese,
and then you take them home and have sex with them.
Yes, that is a reach around. Yep. There you go, Jared. Go get some macaroni. All right. This question is from Rebecca, age 39. Yeah, we have time for this. And she says, "Dear Maddie, my marriage needs help." This is a long question, folks, so bear with me. "Dear Maddie, my marriage needs help. I find myself resentful when I think about things I want to change, but in over 10 years, things have only gotten worse. My husband is unaffectionate. Sex is virtually non-existent." Oh, this makes me sad. Mm-hmm. "It's a very isolating feeling to live with someone who feels more like a roommate than a lover or a spouse. It never used to be this bad, but early on, it wasn't what I thought it should have been. I thought, okay. So basically the marriage, I guess, wasn't what she thought it would be. I thought I could help him with his quote unquote ways, because his family seems to be this way too. I came from a very affectionate family, so this has been really a struggle for me. He kisses me each day, hello and goodbye, about the same way I kiss my child when it's time to go to school. It's never in a romantic or passionate way." Oh my gosh, Rebecca, I'm feeling sad for you. Yeah. She finishes to say, "Sometimes we go for months without any kind of sexual contact, but the average is once every month or two. I am basically the maid, cook, nanny, and have no real feeling of intimacy or passion anymore. I've gained weight, and I can't seem to feel worthy of taking care of myself because I seem to be the only one taking care of everything else. He is not happy with my weight, and that may be the problem, but to me, that is superficial approach to the love. To me, that is a superficial approach to love from a husband."
Wow.
Rebecca, I want to take you out for drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot to talk
about. Bless her heart. Two gay men who have been in a marriage for 12 years. What's the longest relationship you've been in?
Oh, God. Like a year and a half.
Okay. Well, that's something. That's longer than me. Longer than me. So,
I mean, this sort of, I feel like this is similar to the relationship I just got out of, but it was a much shorter relationship, much less serious. But it turned into... I mean, it was different though. Like, we just became more like best friends, but we lost like that level of intimacy that I think we both wanted, but didn't talk about or didn't really address that it was sort of going away. And so her husband may be feeling the same way. Like, do we know if she's talking to him about this?
It doesn't, she doesn't say, and it almost sounds like, and not in a like an abusive way, but it almost sounds like she's scared to talk to him,
yeah,
or just are nervous. It probably, this is a scary thing to talk about because you're worried about somebody wanting you or not.
And it mentions that he's unhappy with her weight,
yes,
which is really sad.
But it also doesn't say if he's unhappy about her weight from, because I would be with somebody I was dating if they gained a lot of weight. I'd be happy from, I really would, honestly, from a health standpoint. Like,
yeah,
I'm already like, my boyfriend loves to eat shrimp, and he has high cholesterol. I'm like, you're not eating shrimp a lot.
I had shrimp for dinner.
So, well, you probably don't have high cholesterol.
Not yet.
I didn't know this. I didn't know this until recently. It's a high cholesterol shrimp. Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is one thing I've learned. This is one side of the story that we're hearing. So, I mean, first of all, I want to say, like, if there is any way that what I think is that a lot of this email, you talk a little bit about your own feelings, but a lot of this emails are about what your husband is doing or not doing.
Yeah.
So my first advice for you, Rebecca, is to do something for yourself. I really believe that. I believe several things. I believe a lot of things. I believe a couple of things, and that's it. I believe that if you're not happy now, you won't be happy later.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I mean by that is that we create happiness. We really do. And we make a choice to seek. And it doesn't have to be happiness. If it's contentment or worthiness or validation, whatever it is, we do make a choice to search that out. So it's not like we say, oh, I'm going to choose to be happy. But it's, oh, I'm going to choose to try to be happy.
Or to do things that
I enjoy. So I'm going to choose to go work out because I know that makes me feel better. I'm going to choose to
eat Chipotle.
Eat Chipotle, make it happy, to do crafting, whatever it is. So for Rebecca, for you, like I want you to do that. And also, too, I think a lot of times people get in relationships and they expect the other person has a responsibility to make them happy.
Yeah.
No one has that responsibility for you, Rebecca. That is solely that's part of being adult, is that we aren't quote unquote dependent on our parents anymore to help raise us or feed us. It is truly your responsibility to create your own happiness in your life. And your husband hopefully can be a part of that, but he might not be. And so for me, like, I think a good first step for you is to think about things that you think you can do to enhance your life. I would love for you to go to counseling. I think that would be helpful for you. I'd love for you and your husband to go to counseling. I think that would be really helpful for you.
Yeah.
But that might be a bigger step down the road.
Yeah. I mean, if she's even having these conversations with him yet.
Yeah, because she seems overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Or beat down.
Yeah. I mean, finding her own happiness could be as simple as just finding her way onto his dick. Like saying, I want to have sex. Like, is she addressing these things with him? We don't know.
Yeah.
It could, I mean, I feel like that could backfire in some cases though, because then once she makes a point like saying, I want to have more sex.
She's probably worried about being turned down. That she's going to try more sex and he's going to say, I don't want to.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a very real concern.
Because I feel like, again, I don't really mean to keep talking, but I've been in relationships. I'm a super affectionate person. So, and I've dated people that aren't as super affectionate at first. And so I'm like, I think though, but from the very get-go, but I'm also the therapist. So fucking talk about, and my family talks about everything.
Yeah.
I immediately will say to somebody like, I need some more kisses. Like I need that.
Yeah.
And when is like, when are you in a good space for that? Like actually talking about that. And that's not saying like that literally is saying I need. So if you do talk to Rebecca, I think you need to definitely start about like what I need type of conversation. But honestly, I'm just going to say like, I really think you need to get some, you were saying earlier, the importance of support.
Yeah.
Whether it's from a counselor, it's from, I don't know if you're religious, from somebody in your religious organization, but preferably like a counselor or maybe even a good friend or somebody that you feel like you can really talk to and just help them. Hopefully you have a good friend that would help guide you in just how to maybe even practice approaching this subject.
Yeah. Or make her realize that she is a valuable person.
Yeah.
And that just like her perception of her husband isn't the only thing that matters or determines who she is.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Rebecca, you are one, look, I read this email and I hear somebody that hopes for love and hopes for connection. And that's beautiful. A lot of people don't even know that about themselves. They're just plugging in on the same keyboard or, you know, raising their kids so busy by work, whatever that is, whether it's office or in your home, that they don't even think about making time for love and connection and intimacy and sex.
One thing that also stands out to me about this is that she mentions that from early on, she realized this was an issue.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah.
And so
what was that about that for you?
Maybe this isn't a relationship that's going to ever work. Like, I mean, has she considered the fact that this guy maybe isn't the one for her?
Mm.
Because I think a lot of us, once we get into a relationship, I mean, it sounds like they have kids. Mm-hmm. And so once you get into a relationship, you think, okay, I'm in it. I found my person. And so we're just going to make this work because we're already here and whatever is working is working. Whatever isn't working, we'll figure out, but maybe it's not ever going to work out. And that's an option that she shouldn't take off the table.
No, that's true. You know, and I hope that it might not really be about you.
Yeah.
If it's been this way from the beginning, that might be the way he is.
Yeah.
It just sounds like there's not a lot of communication between both of you. And so I think, Rebecca, I want you to communicate with your husband, but I really ultimately want you could communicate with someone for you first and kind of build that strength a little bit and get that support. Like, in case your husband does not react well or negatively, or if you try to have sex and he turns you down, you have somebody to go back to and be like, hey, this is what happened. And you're crying, somebody to cry to. I don't want you to go through that alone.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit, I really hope so many people do this when they get married. Something's not working out and they think the marriage will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole Disney Dreamland Princess thing. Oh, we're going to get married. And then he's going to just want to like be inside of me every night.
Yeah.
And that's just not life.
Yeah.
That's not, That's not even gay men. I think a lot of people think that we all... Do people ask it, like, a lot of people think that because you're a guy and you date guys that you just have sex every single day?
I remember my roommate in college, this new girl that just some random that moved in with us, ended up being a good friend. She came out of her room one day and she's like, "So Ty, like, I just wanted your advice. Like, I'm thinking about having anal sex with my boyfriend. So, like, you're the expert. Like, can you tell me everything?" And I'm just like, "I'm still a virgin. Like, I don't, like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about." But yeah, no, I definitely think a lot of people, but I think it's just more talked about in gay culture. I think gay guys talk about sex more than, I don't know, because we're all doing the same things. They mm-hmm. have the same bodies. I mean, not all of us, but still it's easier for us to talk about it than it is with like straight girls and straight guys. And
well, I think we grew up being conditioned to not ever talk about it too.
Just explode with all
so
this sexual conversation.
We have to talk about who we sleep with. Straight yeah. people don't have to do that, but we find that it feels so good
yeah.
to be able to talk about sex that we do want to talk about it more.
Yeah. Even if it's not, I mean, like, I don't have a ton of sex, but I really enjoy talking about it and I feel comfortable about it. And I make the horrible sexual jokes all the time. And
good
I just
for
think,
you.
But it's just, I don't know. It's
You can
it's
be
liberating.
On the show anytime. It is liberating to make a dick joke. Thank you.
Yeah. I wish Thank I you. Didn't work for the government because I would do it all the time at work. Oh, I'd be sued. I would for sure be elbow deep in lawsuits.
I think sometimes too, my mother says, Matthew, why do you have to be so graphic? And sometimes like I do make a joke. She hates it when I say finger banging. She hates it when I talk about finger banging. But it's also very freeing to say that and take it.
To say finger bang.
To say finger bang. Finger banging, finger banging, finger banging.
Have you watched Amy Schumer?
Hashtag finger banging. No, I don't have cable. I mean, I've seen like clips and stuff online.
There's a skit called Finger Blasters, and it's about like chicken strips that are shaped like fingers, and they're like, "Let's get finger blasted." And it's the funniest, and you would love it because you loved saying finger bang.
Now I'm going to say finger blasted. No, I'm not, because I'm not Amy Schumer. I'm not that funny.
Maybe she should try masturbating in bed with him.
I was just thinking, oh, in with him.
Or just, or in general.
You know what? I kind of like, I mean, yes, you should be masturbating, like explore.
Seriously.
Well, because you do want to explore sexuality. So maybe, yeah. Again, that's kind of what I said going back about build up yourself first before you go to him.
Yeah.
So maybe this is exploring your sexuality a little bit on your own, Rebecca. Yeah. But I have totally, that is, I have been in a relationship once where, because look, y'all, gay sex is not as easy as you think. You've no. got to make sure everything's cleaned
it's
up,
like an
ready
orchestra.
To. Yeah, it is. There's not, it's not, I have straight people actually can just be like, "Hey, you want to go swimming? Let's fuck." Gay people can't do that. Or you can, but the pool's going to get dirty. So we have different things to think about. Patrick Hine is going, "Maddie, this is so gross right now." But anyway,
No, it's a valid point.
It's a valid point. And I had a point about that. Shit the bed. I was talking to Rebecca. Oh, I remember once with a guy that I was dating. He was staying over and he did. He really wanted to have sex. And I was like, "I can't. Mama hit a wall. I'm tired. Like, I ate something that's not agreeing with me. It's yeah. not going to happen."
Yeah.
And he said to me, he was like, "Do you care if I just beat off?" And I was like, "No." And it was the first time where somebody just like, and it actually was really, really hot.
Yeah.
Really, really hot.
Yeah.
Just to like watch somebody just do that, because we don't get to do that. So Rebecca, maybe he'll be super into that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's something really intimate to share with someone else, is like how you masturbate is something you normally don't do around other people.
Yeah, unless you're homeless and you're at a library.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not a good joke for the Peace Corps guy.
In the rare book section.
But that's true.
But no, I mean, I think that could, one, it could really get him, like you said, turned on to the idea.
Yeah, maybe.
Or just share a part of her with him that he's either potentially going to turn down or may jump right on board.
Yeah. But Rebecca, I feel like to, you know, I'm not going to diagnose you, but I am going to a little bit. I just want you to pay attention to things like, how is your eating patterns right now? Are you getting weight because you're overeating? Or are you not eating? Are you sleeping well right now? Do you have
you
suicidal
just got a real therapist.
I did. Yeah. Are you just having suicidal thoughts, things like that? Are you like focusing on this all the time? Are you able to do other stuff? I just kind of want you to think about those kind of things and then potentially maybe go talk to a counselor about that, just because you might be depressed, sugar.
And it could be if she's not, I mean, if she doesn't have friends, if she's cutting herself off from people, that could be a huge factor or a huge sign of a deeper issue.
Yes. And I really want to say talk to people. I know a lot of people say, well, if you're cut off, at least go online. But man, I feel like if I tell Rebecca to go online and see, this is just like an affair with somebody in New Jersey, and then you're going to be on Dateline NBC because somebody robbed you near Rebecca. So I don't want you to do that.
Or the guy was 12.
Or he was 12. Or not even a guy. I don't know. And then now you're going to fall in love with a woman. Yes. And then you're in love with the woman, which is great. But yeah. That's...
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations. Rebecca, I hope that helps. So yeah.
Rebecca, we are rooting for you.
We are rooting for you. So... go finger blast yourself in front of your husband, sugar. Do it.
Or in front of the mirror.
Or in front of the mirror, yeah. Yeah, I just... There's so... So, all right. Well, I love you, Rebecca. Good luck. All right. So now it's time for... So, the top of the show, celebrity... I can't speak. Now it's time for celebrity shit the bed.
Okay.
So, what is on your mind, sugar?
Oh, there are
you
so
have
many
great
different...
hair.
Really?
Yeah, it's got a nice curl.
God.
It's cute.
Just because it's so sweaty and dirty.
I know.
Probably.
Well, it's really sweaty. Sorry.
Okay. So, do you follow rap music at all?
This is
he's
not.
He's nodding his head vigorously.
This is not the question I expected. This is not what I expected at all. No, a little bit more because of who I'm dating.
Okay,
but. No.
Why? Okay. So
do you love rap?
Yeah, I love rap. I don't know where it came from. I think, I know exactly where
you
it came from. My
urban.
First, so my babysitter in Southern Oregon in the mountains, used to listen to rap all the time, taking us like driving us around in her car. And so that just got me hooked on rap. And I think a lot of gay men sort of identify with powerful female black women, like obviously female women. So if you, like black women. And so I've always really loved whoever the like sort of big black female rap artist is at whatever time it is.
So I
like
enjoy that,
Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, Da Brat, if you remember her. And recently, I'm obsessed with Nicki Minaj. All my friends know she's just like her music's amazing. She is a cool person.
This is not the conversation that I expected. Someone loves the anaconda.
I love the anaconda, and I'm not, yes, the dick anaconda. But there's this other female black artist named Azalea Banks, and she's like less mainstream than Nicki Minaj is. She's a lot more vulgar. Oh. She's really outspoken for everything. Like anytime anyone says anything, she just attacks them. But she's also identified as bisexual, and so she's sort of become like this gay icon because she's so, I don't know.
I have heard of her.
Okay. And so she recently got into like a Twitter feud with someone.
This is why I've heard of her. This is the only reason why.
Because of her saying like fag over and over.
Well, she was on, tell everybody that's not listening or that doesn't know, she was on a plane, right? I feel like there was a thing where they caught like on video where she got into an altercation on a plane.
Oh.
And she was like yelling at someone, calling them a faggot.
Oh, no.
This just happened like a couple of days ago.
I didn't even read about that.
Oh, sugar, yeah.
Oh, well, so this is, I mean, my whole issue is.
Because I saw it because Willem Belli, the drag queen,
yeah.
Tweeted like, bye, Felicia, no more love from the gays, yeah. Bitch, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that was
really supportive.
That was my point, is that she had been lifted up to this really powerful position of being the sort of gay icon and giving us all a voice. Like, Nicki Minaj is sort of a gay icon, but she's never really spoken out about gay issues. Because,
she's very conservative, actually.
Yeah, and she doesn't understand gay issues, and she's sort of been pushed up onto this pedestal. But, like, there's this one, this really horrible interview with her where they're like, oh, so, like, what do you think? Like, what would you say to your gay fans? And she was like, I would just say that to all of the people out there who are hating on them, they're just really, and she just like pauses for like a minute and then says ignorant and like, or like they're just hateful people. But like, she doesn't, it's obvious that she's never thought about gay people or like doesn't understand what issues they really are facing and why it's important for them to have an icon. Whereas Azalea Banks did. And that's what was so great about her. And now recently, I mean, I guess with this thing on the plane, but also on Twitter, she's just been like popping off with like horrible homophobic slurs and saying all these really negative things to gay people and saying this is my right as an artist to say whatever I want to. And it's destroyed her in my mind. I know. And it was really sort of upsetting because I was like, we finally have someone. Like, I've always wanted all of these sort of icons of mine to say something like this, like to support the gay community.
I mean, that's why people love I think Lady Gaga is what the gays even more wanted Madonna to be.
Yeah, because Madonna's so very about it.
Madonna's crazy gay supportive. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but Lady Gaga was like, no, I'm actually going to talk about this all the time and make it a platform.
Yeah. And whereas Madonna like sort of mentioned it, or it was implicit.
She would mention it. She, you know, it was like, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah. So Lady Gaga was that, but I've never really liked Lady Gaga because I don't know, whatever. But it was just really nice to finally have this person. And so I'm just so disappointed. And I feel like it's just like this huge opportunity that she had that she just ruined by trying to, I feel like she let it slip, like wrote this tweet saying faggot. And then she all of a sudden felt like she had to defend herself and like wouldn't back down because she never backs down from anything. Mm-hmm. And that has just ruined her. And that's, I guess, my celebrity shit the bed. I'm just upset with her.
Do you think too, like, I also want to bring in a point that, do you think that this, it's more effective to her? Like, or do you think she's least likely to get away with this because she's a woman and not a man? Because I kind of wonder that. Because I feel like men are allowed to say,
well, I mean, so I've loved rappers who are homophobic. Like, their lyrics are horrible. They're misogynistic. Like, I still really enjoy their music. And that speaks very ill of my own character.
No,
but
I
like,
think,
it's a difference. I guess it's a difference.
I think, honestly, I think that is the power of music. I think music transcends verbal language mm-hmm. and articulate thinking. If it resonates to us, it resonates to us.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to apologize for that. Now, do you need to play it when you're doing an outreach at a gay GSA? No.
So, I mean, I feel like, so if like Frank Ocean, who is an out gay black rapper, if he said something
okay,
like this.
Okay, I'm white, because when you said Ocean, I thought of that guy that sings, Caribbean Queen, now we're sharing the same dream. What is it? And a heart. Billy Ocean. No more love on the run.
You're like, oh, he's changed his music.
Yeah. I was like, Billy Ocean's a rapper?
A lot's changed.
Boy.
But I don't think he would get away with it. I don't think anyone would or should, because for so many people that are singing about stuff that it's offensive, that's not their platform, and no one's really following them for that reason. Whereas in the case of Azealia Banks, people were following her and supporting her for that reason. I mean, also her music's really good, but it became more than that.
That is the reason why I follow Lady Gaga, actually. I was like, I heard Lady Gaga's song. I was like, oh, that's nice. And then when she was so supportive of us, I said, oh, I'm going to buy her albums.
Yeah.
Oh, the next time she comes in concert, like I've said, oh, the next time she's in concert, I'm going to go to her concert. And A, because I want to see the spectacle, but B, I want to support it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, maybe... I'm just thinking, like, that's one parallel I could draw of a man maybe getting away with it, and I don't think he could, but maybe that's just because...
Sports stars get away with it all the time.
Oh, for sure.
So...
But, I mean, Lil Wayne gets away with it all the time. Like, other rappers get away with it all the time, but they're not the ones who anyone's looking up to for that issue.
It's like we almost expect as a society women to be more empathetic.
Yeah.
To more human maybe that... than men, but we let men just be more aggressive, and we're like, oh, that's... That's Lil Wayne.
I mean, that's probably why I've always chosen women as like my music icons, because I expect more out of them, which maybe isn't fair.
Well, I think too that I think that why gay men, this isn't like a clinical, I'm sure people have wrote about this because, you know, I fucking love like Whitney Houston and people love, and I'm going to see Janet Jackson next month. Like,
nice.
I think black women are like, one of the lowest people on the totem pole of our culture.
In terms of privilege,
in terms of opportunities given to them, that's really changed a lot, and it's changing more. I love that speech Viola Davis gave at the Emmys. If you haven't heard that, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And also, too, maybe I think about this more differently. Like, I've always thought about race, but now that I'm in love and dating someone who is black, that has completely changed how I view, because it's the first time I'm able to talk, like have a real conversation with someone who talks to me. Have you ever dated a black guy?
No.
Maybe you would. Maybe they would, because mine loves rap music.
No, I mean,
all black people love rap music, everyone. I'm kidding.
I've only had 3 boyfriends, so it's not like I wouldn't date.
Sugar, you need
like
to get down
types.
With it.
No, I've definitely gotten down with it. I just haven't dated yet.
Oh, well, there. I went through many before one committed. But anyway, what I was going to say is I think gay men, like, especially white men, You're like at the top of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Pole, can't say it.
No, I like
because you're a white man. And then when you come out, you're like at the bottom.
Yeah, or one like, who's around people. Me? Like,
yeah, and so it's, I think it's finding tribe. Yeah. That's what I think a lot of why we relate to those women in that way.
Yeah.
That's just my own opinion, and someone's screaming at the radio saying, you're stupid, Matt. I don't agree.
No, I agree, and I think that's, I feel sort of betrayed by like one of my own.
Yeah, you feel betrayed by someone in your tribe.
Yeah.
If like Whitney Houston, God rest her soul, had ever said she didn't like gay people. Although I did feel, not a little betrayed, I felt more sad when that like, that there's a lot of evidence to say that she probably was a lesbian.
Really?
And in a lesbian relationship. And it really believed for a lot of people that was a lot of the cause of what caused her, was really behind her drug addiction, that she was living her life as not an out. She had a manager who was an out lesbian for like 15 years before she got married or anything. And Oprah even asked Whitney Houston's mother, if your daughter, there's a lot of rumors about, because you know it's a big rumor if Oprah mentions it in an interview, because she'll let like the TMZ shit slide.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, there's a lot of rumors that your daughter's a lesbian. How do you feel about that? Would you have supported her? And she said, not ever. Her mother said it was such vitriol, like hate.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, I'd be on drugs and dead too. I think if I really believed that my parent was going to hate me, it was like hate.
Yeah. But I mean, that stuff, I mean, that's horrible and I can't empathize as much as I'd want to, but maybe that would have changed had she come out to her mom.
Maybe.
Maybe her mom would have changed.
Maybe. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. Well, I'm sorry for you.
Why are you sorry for me?
That your person's off their pedestal. I'm imagining you like in your apartment, like rapping and saying the F word and the N word and all this kind of stuff, which you probably do because they probably rap and you say that.
It's like, have you ever seen White Chicks?
No.
Okay, come on. I can't make any reference around you.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I haven't seen anything. I'm the worst.
It's nothing really.
I wanted to see that. It freaked me out. They looked freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely do not look human when they're in their costumes.
I love the Wayans brothers. Which one? Marlon? They're all hot. Let's be honest.
I think Damien is the one that I am on board with.
Oh, and you know who I'm really on? Is it David Wayans Jr.? Damien Wayans Jr.?
Damien? The younger one who's like also a model.
Who's now on like, was he a model? He's on New Girl.
He was talking. I saw him in an interview because he was talking about how they like changed him out with the other black character. No one's going to notice. He is gorgeous.
He is so hot. And he's like kind of effeminate in his comedy, which is even hotter.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even.
Side note, did you see John Boehner behind the Pope today when the Pope was giving his speech at the Capitol?
No, I was in a shoot all day today, so I haven't like.
He was just like sobbing, like the worst crying face I've ever seen as the Pope was giving his speech, and he was trying so hard not to
cry. Why was he sobbing?
Because he's Catholic? I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of other shit going on that he's upset about, but...
Really?
It's worth watching. Because it's like Joe Biden on one side, and then John Boehner on the other side, and John Boehner is just like losing his shit. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, so watch it.
Wow. All right, then. All right, well, we're at the point of the show, Chatty Matty questions. So same questions every week. So I've kind of been changing this up recently. But so first question is, what is your most favorite childhood smell?
Pine.
Oh, you are an outdoorsy boy. Was it just all around you, or is there a specific memory you remember?
No, I mean, my brother and sister and I used to go hiking all the time, for the entire day. We lived on, I think it was like 8 acres or something. So it wasn't a lot, but enough to like get and like all their land behind us was owned by the government. So there was no one there. So we would go hiking all day and we just spent like a ton of time out there. And I don't know. It's just like, when I think of my childhood, I think of us out there and it smells like pine trees.
Mm.
Like we would shit in the woods and like covered up with leaves. Like we became real.
Look at you. You are a country boy.
It was Lord of the Flies out there.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right. How'd you clean up? Did you just use leaves or something? Just shake it off?
Yeah, I'm sure we got a lot of horrible poison oak and not so good areas.
Mother doing laundry. Bless her heart. All right. Chatty Matty question number 2. What would be the name of your memoir?
Oh, jeez.
It's okay to think. Take time.
Fuck.
Fuck, that would be finger memoir. I think that's been given, unless you're going on your porn, that someone's already done that.
Let's get finger blasted. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Diaries of a Princess.
Diaries of a Princess. Are you an only child?
No, I'm not. I have an older brother, I had an older sister, and I have a younger half-sister.
Oh, I'm sorry about your sister.
Thanks.
Are you close with your siblings?
Yeah, my brother and I actually became a lot closer. Growing up, we were not close, but after I came out, we became really close.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How come? I don't know. I just, I think it's one, we weren't living together anymore, but two, it was just like, there was this barrier that I had always seen between us. Cause I always knew I was lying to him. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like I was more real with him, and it just became a better relationship because of that. Mm. And we matured.
Yeah, we matured.
And my little sister's 11, so we're as close as I can be with an 11-year-old.
Oh, wow, she's 11. Yeah. So my brother and I fought a lot too, but then you end up being closer.
Yeah.
I think the fighting, there's something, if you can like literally hate somebody that much at one point in your life and you're throwing things at them, but then the next day you know that they love you.
Yeah.
There's something to that. Don't do that, people. Don't do that as adults.
Yeah,
don't
do that. Do not.
All right. Chatty Matter question number 3. What is the best piece of advice you wish you had taken?
My uncle, my mom's brother, once told me that I should learn Mandarin, and I didn't, and I really wish I would have.
What would be different, do you think, if you had learned Mandarin?
I don't know. He's incredibly wealthy, and I don't know. I just think it would have been in my best interest to learn a language like that, and probably have gone to business school or something.
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
But you probably wouldn't be in the Peace Corps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a Peace Corps program in China, so.
But you'd also probably have 3 houses by now.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be How flying around a helicopter. Feel?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Screw the Peace Corps. I'm rich, bitches. I'm glad you're doing recruiting. This is great. We're really doing good as a country. I'm teasing. All right. So, Chatty Matter question number 4. What would be your Groundhog Day, like in your past? Let me specify then. A day that you've already lived, what would be your Groundhog Day? Your day that you're like, oh, I
live
could do
over
that
and over.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Well, I don't think you were alive then.
Yeah, when Jesus was resurrected.
When Jesus was finger blasted by probably one of the disciples. No, I'm kidding.
It was the Virgin Mary. It was horrible. No,
oh,
incest.
My gosh. Oh, I just lost it. But Jesus was probably a little good. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, 12 minutes.
There's a big gap there. A day that I would live over and over for the rest of my life. There are so many, which is a really, I think, a positive sign of my life. That I would want to relive so many different days. Probably my mom and I went, I used to go to England every year growing up because all my maternal family lives over there. And one of the years after I graduated, or no, right before I went to college, after I graduated high school, my mom and I went on like a longer trip through Europe, like went to Italy, and went to like Spain and England. Obviously. And we spent 1 day or 3 days, sorry, in Venice. I know it's like typical. Oh, like you relive your day in Venice, of course. But when we first arrived there, it was pouring rain. And I was like this fucking asshole to my mom, just like so miserable and upset and like totally entitled and like, where's the hotel and why are we here and why is it raining?
Oh, we didn't do the Peace Corps yet.
No,
someone was a bitchy queen. You were a bitchy twink.
I was. and we found our way to the hotel through like this pouring rain, and then it cleared up, and my mom and I went out and found a restaurant and got this delicious pizza, and it was just like the sun setting over Venice, and my mom is like, she's my favorite person in the world, and we've been through like horrible shit together, and I've hated her at times, but like today she's my favorite person in the world, and it was just magical. And I think that was when I was the happiest I can ever remember. I mean, I've been very happy since then, but it was just like, this is a day I'll always remember. And there wasn't anything particularly spectacular about it. It wasn't like I won the lottery or anything. We were in a really amazing place and that was great, but it was more the person I was with and how important she was to me at that point and how happy we were.
Now I want to go to Venice. All right, Mom, get ready. All right, last Chatty Matter question. When are you most inspired?
When am I most inspired? I'm probably most, I mean, now in my job, I'm most inspired when I'm talking to college students who've done so many amazing things. They've traveled abroad. They've been working in like underserved communities here in the U.S. They've interned with like the UN or all these just incredible things. And they're like, they're going to be the next world leaders. And just hearing that makes me, one, it makes me feel like shit because I'm like, I haven't done any of that. But two, it just makes me have a lot of hope for our future and feel really inspired that there are really great people out there in the world.
Wow. That's a good note to end on. Well, tell everybody if you want where they can find you. Obviously, they can go to thepeacecorps.gov, right?
Yes, they can go to thepeacecorps.gov.
Do you have a Twitter or anything you want to share? Do you have any of that? If you don't, that's fine too.
Yeah, so I have my Peace Corps. Well, I don't know, Peace Corps Twitter, my regular Twitter. I never tweet normal tweets, it's only for work. My Instagram, follow me on Instagram.
You like Instagram?
I love Instagram.
Okay,
what's your Instagram? All my Peace Corps pictures are on there.
What's your Instagram?
Time and M, so it's T-Y-M-O-N-M.
Okay, Instagram, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, great. Well, and the rest of you know the drill. Go to DearMattyShow.com. You can submit your questions. You can do Twitter. Instagram is DMattMar.
Grindr.
No, I'm not on it anymore. Yeah, anymore. So.
Don't need to be.
Thank goodness. Because HPV is real. You got it.
It is rampant.
It's rampant. But yes, and we're going to end on that. Woo! But thank you. I had you on because you're a sweet soul, but I really wanted to learn about. Sorry, listeners. Sometimes I just have people on because I wanted to hear about them.
Yeah.
So, but I love you. I think you're a great soul, and I'm so happy that we're becoming friends. And,
me too.
And now we're going on the fucking fans, everyone, because it is hot.
Thank you so much for having me. You're awesome and hilarious.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, all right, everybody. Try to do something for someone this week. Be a little kind to them and help them out in some way.
Maybe a blowjob.
Sorry. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.